Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
I want to do a quick little review. I mentioned last week how many people knew the game Duck, Duck, Goose, which we did when we were kids. And then I spoke about that last week, and you got the theme verse on your paper. I kept the same verse that we spoke on, even though I'm not going to be actually on that verse right now. The verse talks about draw near to His presence. And it's not just drawing near, but to the very presence of God. And like I said last week, the first thing that comes to my mind is the fact that when we pray, we get to pray and our prayers go to the very presence of God. And I think that is something that's unique. We pray through Jesus Christ because He's the one that may open the door for us to get to God. And that's why in a prayer, if you ever hear the proper prayer, it's always either at the end it says, in the name of Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of that. What you're doing is you're praying to the Father, but you're doing it by way of Jesus Christ. Then it says also that we're to pray, do this with a true heart. A heart that's genuine worship. When you come here, you're really looking to grow and get closer to the Lord. It's not about the preacher. It's not about how he talks or anything else. It's about you and your personal growth and your relationship with your Savior and with God. Then he tells us to provoke each other to do God's will. And the word provoke in the Greek is an extremely strong word, to the point that it actually comes out to do a riot. And that's a pretty strong verb, to excite a riot. So literally what it's talking about, well, let me finish one other thing. It talked about also not to forsake ourselves, assemblies as believers. We're a family, and we need to get together as a family. We need to interact as a family of believers here. And we're to provoke each other to the sense that you get to know each other so close that when someone walks in and has a problem, you sense it. Even though you don't know what the problem is, you can tell something's different with that person. And you go up and you provoke them. The word is to encourage. I noticed that you're feeling bad today. Can I pray with you? Would you like to discuss it? You want to sit down? I'll be glad to spend time with you. Let me tell you what God did for me to help me through my situation that might help you. That's what this word provoke means. But it means it in a very strong way. It's not where you sit down, you notice somebody, and what you do end up doing is ducking it. You don't respond to what God would have you to do. And you duck it, and you don't go over and talk to that person. God taught us last week on how important it was for each of us to help each other, encouraging other to keep our eyes on God. Now we pick up in Hebrews. By the way, keep a finger in Hebrews. We'll be there most of the time, but we will come to those couple verses outside of Hebrews. But it says in verse 26 for today, this is our starting verse. It says, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now, during this time of Paul talking to the Jews that accepted Christ as their Savior, there was a problem. The problem was they kept sacrificing back at the temple. And Paul's saying here, there, you're going back in, and when you do that, you're making the sacrifice of God meaningless. You're saying it didn't do any good. And you're going back to the temple, and you're living, putting yourself back under that law, and you're going to keep doing that sacrifice that doesn't need to be done anymore. Christ died, and when he died, he fulfilled all the law, not part of it. No more sacrifices to be done. So what was once obedience to God now has become sin, willful sin. And that's what they were doing. If they reject the death of Christ, there is no more sacrifice for sin. And that's what he's saying here in this verse. There's no more sacrifice. So if you put that aside, there's nothing else that can help you with your sin. Only through Jesus Christ. And as I said last week, that the church, the assembly of believers, is here to help us through things like this. When people are going astray in the wrong area, that's why he brought this up as a part of the subject. Because they were heading the wrong direction, and he was provoking them to get back in the right relationship with God. And we as a body of believers here, we're a family. And as being a body, we're to encourage each other. We're to push each other along. Hey, listen, man, I read the Bible through in a year. Let me tell you what a blessing it's been for you. Let me get you to do it. See, encouragement. Oh, by the way, for those of you that don't have the daily bread thing, we got the new ones here too. Doing your devotions all the time, reading the daily bread. Encourage them. Oh, let me tell you about the prayer life and how God works in the prayer life. We encourage. We're a family. We're to help each other. God sees the need that we're to help each other, just like the Holy Spirit convicts us and works in our lives. God knows we need the church to hold us accountable. And God wants all Christians to take part of helping each other. I am not any more important than any one of you sitting here. All of us have the same responsibility to encourage each other, to help each other. Everybody's got their job to do. And if we're ducking what God wants us to do, this duck-duck game thing doesn't work. And we can't pick and choose what we want to do. As we learn, we need to accept it. There's no conviction, I got to wait till God convicts me. Obedience is better than sacrifice, it tells us in the Old Testament. When Saul was trying to do something what he thought was right, and when Samuel came up to him and told him, hey, nuh-uh, obedience is better. You listen to what God said and do it. We are not to sin willfully. I want you to look at three verses here. Number one, Romans 6:15 is the first one. Romans 6:15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. We're not to use sin as a license. Let me rephrase that. I said that wrong. We're not to use grace as a license to go and sin, because we know it's under the law. God has paid the penalty. God says forbid. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Then he takes it a step further in Galatians 5:13. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. That's grace. That's liberty. Okay? Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh or to sin. But this is what I like about it. Now, here's the part of our sermon today. But by love, serve one another. Help each other. Encourage each other. When you see somebody down, don't duck. Go and talk to them. Hey, a lot of times I end up starting a conversation this way. I don't need to know your personal business unless you want to tell me. But I couldn't help but notice that you're feeling bad today. Can I pray with you? And by the way, this is something that I have noticed many times. You can tell somebody, you'll pray for them. But I'm seeing more and more that if you stop that moment and say, let me pray with you right now as well. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that they brighten up. Even Thomas, when I did that. And Steve, I talked to him before he went in. He gave me a call. I said, let me pray with you right now. And I still prayed for him later during everything would go right. I told him, I said, make sure the doctor tell the doctor you're going to check his work and say, I want to see the old parts. I said, tell the doctors to come back too. They shouldn't charge him again. I said, why is it I, being a mechanic, can't put up there that this is a practice like the doctors do? Say it's a practice. That would permit me to charge you again to work on it continuously, see? Again, God tells us to help each other by provoking to do God's will. We are not to play duck, duck, goose. We are not to pick or choose what God wants us to do. We are not to willfully sin by ducking what God wants us to do. And that's what this relationship and why Paul's talking about this in back in his day. That was the very thing he had to teach the Jews that accepted Christ, because they were ducking the will of God. Then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, the next verse, it says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe on the saving of the soul." God understands that sometimes our faith wavers. He's not a whipping type God. He understands. That's why we live under grace right now, because he does understand. And sometimes we don't come to church when we should be there that day, okay? Sometimes we make up, exaggerate something that sounds like it would be good to keep us from going, because I really, listen, I don't want to get out of bed. Every year I'm getting older, I want to stay in bed a little bit longer. especially when it's just that perfect temperature and all. And sometimes we just don't come to church. Or sometimes we just want to give up. What's the use? I've been praying and praying and I don't see any answer to my prayers. I've been praying a long time, months, and I still don't see any answer to prayers. And sometimes we just duck and avoid God touching us. When this happens, we need to draw near to God and come to church the more so God can speak to us and work in our lives. That's when we need him the most. When we're at our lowest point. But we have a tendency as human beings to draw away rather than get closer. And we as Christians, this family here, when we see our fellow brethren here, we need to help and go. You know, pick a time where you can go privately and just say, I mean, this is something you don't do publicly. You go up and talk to them. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having buds in here, you know, where you got people you love to talk to. But you need to get to know everybody here and talk to everybody here. Now, if we had 600 people coming every week, that it would be hard to do. But right now, we got a pretty good thing going here. That we can know each other. That's why we do our runs on Sunday. That's why we do the Thursday thing. To get to know each other. The more I get to know, the friendlier we get together and everything. We can kid together. And the moment I see something there, the closer I get to know you, the more I'm going to see whether something's wrong. I may not know what's wrong, but I'll sense something. And then I need to say, hey, can I help you? Can I pray with you? You want to be unspoken? Fine. But you need to be there for each other. Think about this. God does not want us to play duck, duck, goose, but geese are a unique animal. Geese fly together. They live and thrive as a flock. And they are part of a community. I'm going to read an excerpt here about geese. It's really pretty cool. Geese fly together in a V formation for a reason. For each bird flaps its wing, it creates an extra lift for the bird immediately following behind it. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 70% to the flying capacity and endurance than if each bird tried to fly on its own. Then a goose slackens up its flying effort. It begins to fall out of formation. It begins to feel the drag and the resistance of the air that once helped it lift it up. Quickly, the goose will then try, increase its drive, and push a little harder to get back into that formation so that it can take advantage of the lift and the power of the flock. Then, when the head goose gets tired and falls back, because think about it, the goose is hitting the brunt of the resistance. Guess what? Automatically, without hesitation or resistance, another goose flies up and takes the point position to lead. Geese honk from behind the lead to encourage those up in the front to keep up their speed, to encourage them. And finally, when a goose gets sick or is wounded or falls out of formation, two other geese will fall out with it, follow it down to lend help and protection. They will stay with the fallen goose until it's able to fly again, and then they will launch out, find another formation to stay with until they can return to their own flock.
Do you know why there's one thing of the V is longer than the other when they fly in the V? There's more geese on that side.
Bob, be sure and edit that out of this recording.
Yeah, that was wisdom from Bob's corner. I don't edit that.
This is what God wants from all of us as Christians each and every day. Now think about this. When it said that the goose, when it gets tired or falls out a moment, not down, but just falls out, and he's got to work harder to get back in. But once he gets back in, it's less resistance. Now think about the same thing with God. When we are in God's will, it's easier. We're still going through problems, but we go through it easier. But the moment we get back away from the Lord, what happens? The whole world just keeps coming down on us, and it's harder. And then we have to thrive harder, what? To get back into the will of God. It's the same way with the geese. Remember something. Duck, duck, goose is a man-made game. In real life, geese are a community that help each other. The question you must ask today or ask yourself today is, am I playing duck, duck, goose with God? I hope that last week's sermon and this week's sermon on this has taught you how important you are to the whole. Every one of you is important. You're helping the other person. Every time you give a testimony here each week, you're helping someone you may not ever know. They may not ever say so. Or they may come to you and say, I really needed that. And I've had people do that. To provoke, to encourage each other, to help in a time of need. Draw near to God at all times, especially when you're down and out. Do what the geese do when they fall out of formation. Push harder. Push harder, get back in, and remember this word. My biggest blessing in this whole 2 weeks has been that word provoke. It's not passive. It's strong. Think about it. To incite a riot. That's how strong that verb is. To incite a riot. I didn't make that up now. That's how it translates in the Greek. To incite a riot. That's pretty strong. That's how strong we are to encourage each other, to help each other. Now, the world right now is pretty good at inciting riots in the United States. We need to do it for the right reason, for the good reason. To help each other. So don't ever look down and say, well, I have no part of being here. Every one of you do. Every one of you have a gift that you can help each other with somehow, some way. And I hope you learned something about Duck, Duck, Goose. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.